In a nest, in a tree, by the wall, in our garden, a family of blackbirds did grow. And each day from the tree there came a loud warning to all those who passed by below.
Okay, so today I'm having a chat with Sophie Bancroft, who's kindly agreed to come along and chat about her experience of the perimenopause and how it's impacted on her life as a professional singer and musician. So thank you very much for agreeing to have this chat, Sophie. It's really good. Maybe we could start perhaps by, I mean, it would be good to think about what does perimenopause actually mean, because some people might not be very clear about that. But before that, could you say just a little bit about yourself, just introduce yourself and your work?
Okay, well, I'm a singer and a songwriter, first and foremost. Mm-hmm. I've been a professional singer really since I was 17, which is, oh my goodness, 40 years ago.
Right.
And I started writing professionally in my early 20s when I've always been a jazz singer, and I grew up with my family all played jazz. So I grew up with the standards, and when I started singing them as a young woman, although I love them and still do and always will sing them, I also as a young woman found sometimes lyrically they weren't talking about me as a woman, which is one of the reasons that I started writing fully my own songs, because then I could talk about what it felt like to be a woman. In the era that I've grown up in. That's been very much my career for the last four decades ish and along the way I became a voice teacher as well. So I lead a lot of workshops. I work with my dear friends Leanne Carroll and Sarah Coleman. We run workshops around the UK and do some in France and various places. I also do quite a lot of private teaching, and I teach at the Reed School of Music at Edinburgh Uni, and I've taught for the last however many years at Aberdeen Music at Aberdeen University, and I've taught at various universities as a singing teacher, predominantly in jazz. So that's been a big part of my career. And then more recently, I have developed my writing expression so that I've been doing more poetry and memoir. And I then went to do creative writing masters in 2018 and 19, which I got with distinction, extraordinarily.
Congratulations.
That was an amazing... I absolutely loved every moment of doing that master's, and was very sad when it ended. And then from that, I've also been, along the way, been very interested about bringing visuals into support what I'm expressing through my music and my words. So initially I was using a lot of photography that I took when I walk. I do a lot of landscape photography, which I find really focuses my way of looking at things, and then it makes me think about things in my life or things that I'm feeling or stirs my imagination. So a lot of my songwriting comes out when I'm walking or my other writing. So I, from the photography, I then went to create a series of greeting cards which have my photographic images on that I affect on Photoshop with watercolour textures and stuff, and then links through to one of my song lyrics and one of my songs on the back. So
what a great idea. What a lovely idea.
Yeah, it's been brilliant, actually. And on gigs, it's great because, you know, it's as well as having CDs, you know, and if people like a song, they come and find the card. Or equally, they like the images, which is really nice for me.
Nice.
a feeling that people like the images I'm creating. So then that kind of led on to me then exploring video. And over the last few years, I've taught myself to edit and have gone on to have my first film poem. Well, it was my first film poem, but it was one of my first film poems that's been screened at a couple of film festivals, which has been extraordinarily exciting. Ooh. And I then got a bursary to develop my filmmaking from Luminate Scotland, and have just literally released a new, what I'm calling a film song. So it's a animation that I've created to go with a new song of mine.
That's amazing, yes. Sophie. Gosh, so many different areas of creativity that you've moved through. That's marvellous. Could you say just a word about Luminate Scotland, so if in case people haven't heard of it?
Yeah, Luminate Scotland is this most amazing organisation that works on projects to nurture and support older people being creative, and equally works on projects to nurture and support older artists to continue developing. So I'm involved in several ways with them, actually, and finding it very exciting to, at this stage of my career, find a new area of support and nurturing. It's really lovely, and they're absolutely brilliant people involved in loads of amazing projects. So
that sounds amazing. That sounds really good. Wow. Yeah,
they're brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
Gosh. Well, thank you so much, Sophie. I was wondering, would it be possible then for you, if we think about all these different aspects to you and your career, just to move into thinking about the menopause, or the perimenopause, actually. And I wondered, would you like to say what actually that means? Because most people, I think, talk about the menopause. What's the perimenopause?
Well, to me, it means a period of time when one's hormones are rebalancing. Mm-hmm. So as the estrogen declines, or as Germaine Greer put it, our biddable hormones decline. There is definitely a wonderful freeing thing that happens by being less biddable.
A positive, a real positive.
It's definitely a positive. Yeah. I'm quite enjoying that, I have to say. for me, that's what it is. It's that period of time, which I think can take years and years, or it certainly seems to be for me, in the run-up to menopause, which, as far as I understand it, the definition of that is once you've not menstruated for over 12 months, I think.
That's right, yeah. For 1 year, that's right. Yeah. Okay. No, that's really helpful. Thank you. So would you be able to say a bit then about how have you actually experienced this perimenopause to date? And I presume it's an ongoing thing, but just how have you experienced it? And then if you can say a bit about, how has that affected your career, your work?
Yeah, well, interestingly, perimenopause has in many ways been liberating for me physically, because before I went into perimenopause, the last sort of, I would guess I've been in perimenopause probably for the last 3 years, maybe. Two or 3 years, which is very late. I'm very late because I am, I'm 57 now. So actually, I am very late, which is fine. But I, prior to that, for the last 15 years, really, I suffered terribly from uterine fibroids and would have debilitating periods, debilitating heavy periods. And I was kind of on the route of having a hysterectomy and all those kind of things, and then fortunately about 5 or 6 years ago I was put on a particular medicine that seemed to, apparently it changes the lining of your uterus if you're lucky, which I was lucky, and has made my bleeding less difficult. So for me as a performer, that period of time was extremely difficult. I lost a huge amount of confidence and would get very anxious about performing in case I had one of my big flooding experiences.
Right.
And also, my whole sort of identity was impacted because it just is such a horrible thing. It's physically draining.
Mm.
It's anxiety producing because of worrying about flooding.
Mm.
Being away from home and traveling a lot was awful in those particular days of the month. And also just that sense of, I don't know, you don't feel, as a woman, I didn't feel very attractive or sexy, I suppose, when I was just feeling like just this complete, you know, this bleeding thing. It was very difficult for a long time, actually. That was very difficult. So I've always been someone that's really looked forward to going through the menopause. I wanted that to stop because it was really affecting me very badly and affecting my career very badly.
My
relationship with my career, I would avoid booking things in on certain times of the month, and all, you know, just I'd get very anxious about traveling.
Were you able to plan? I mean, was it regular that this was likely to happen, or was it out of the blue sometimes?
No, it was usually regular, so I knew when the nightmares would be. You know, and it was every 28 days, so it was that starts, you know, when you've got three days or so that you need to avoid life every 28 days, that starts really adding up
in, into,
so as a result, my perimenopause has been very, very welcome. And I kind of hoped that because I'd had such a difficult time for so long, that I would be treated well during my perimenopause.
Yeah.
And in many ways I have. I've, you know, compared to many women, I've been very lucky. My hot flushes, I've certainly gone through that phase. I feel like I'm coming out of that, interestingly, now. And they would wake me up for a period of time, so that was tricky. But then I've always been slightly insomniatic anyway, so to be fair, it didn't impact me too much, that
but your sleep was a bit worse, but because of the flashes, even for you, right?
Yeah, it was worse, so I noticed that. But I as I say, I was used to dealing with being tired. And I'm since being a mother, I've always been a great afternoon napper.
Sounds
so
good.
Just giving more excuses for napping in the afternoon.
It's a good excuse, good reason.
It's a very good excuse. Yeah. But I my hot flushes were never terrible. You know, so I, you know, some of my friends were just literally sweat. I didn't do that so much. And actually, I've always been someone that's tended to be a wee bit chilly, so I've quite enjoyed
it. Good. Hot, yeah. So that's a positive then. That's a real positive, isn't it?
In some ways. I mean, I'm happy that they're subsiding now because they're tiring for all different reasons. I mean, physically, you know, that burning that kind of heat is pretty fun. And actually, I was in France this year when I was still having them during the heat wave, and that was a wee bit scary, actually, being in 43 degrees and having a hot flush. It's like, oh my God, you know, is my body going to internally come on? So that's gone on for me, but that seems to be subsiding now. I have definitely had periods of time where I've become very low, and it was very interesting because when I was a teenager and a young woman, when my hormones were obviously, you know, still all over the place and hadn't settled down yet, I was very up and down emotionally and would get very, very low at times. Regularly, you know, I would spend a lot of time very, very dark times, and actually that's when I was young, that's when I would be at my most creative. I would just write all the time then.
Right.
What was interesting, I've just had a few of those episodes this year again, which took me back to being that person, and I'm very aware that actually I think it is literally my hormone balance you know, that does that to my brain. And I know during my life, I've had, whenever I've taken any, you know, if I've had the pill or the mini pill or the combined pill, I had to come off it very quickly because I would start getting very low.
Right.
Imbalance definitely triggers off mental health issues for me. So that was a wee bit worrying for a bit, because I wondered how much that would take a grip of me. But what was good from it was that I realized that the difference from me now as a 20 something year old woman is that I've got all these tools now that I use, that I've learned over the years to deal with when I'm low, and also much better at speaking about it. Actually, I had a good, the thing that broke my last sort of big low was speaking to my mum, who I'm very lucky to have, still have in my life. And it was her that said, you are, she defined it as, you know, you are obviously quite depressed just now. And just defining that made it start lifting, because it made me then understand what I need to do. Whereas prior to that, I'd been just, you know, just feeling awful, really.
And was there anything else that you found helped or have found has helped when your mood's been low related to the hormone? Well, either hormonal or just anything at all that you're able to say?
Well, singing has always been a thing, and that's, and that would often lead on to songwriting for me, which is why I would tend to be, you know, I would go and I would go and just sit in a room with my guitar and make noises that reflected how I was feeling. And then from that, then songs might start coming out. And if they didn't, it didn't matter, because it was just kind of getting stuff out. And also journaling has always been very important for me. I have so many books hidden away in drawers of moments when I've been low, you know, and I capture it in words. So words and sound have always been really important for me. So that they're two biggies. And also, I think one of the biggest things I've learned over the years is not to be hard on myself if I'm feeling low. Because it's so easy to go, why am I feeling low? Because actually everything in my life is good. What, you know, what a disaster I am that I'm not feeling, that I'm feeling low, you know, and learning not to do that. Just go, okay, actually I'm low right now. So just wrap myself up in cotton wool. Just be a wee bit gentle. Walking is another of my tools. It's essential. So walking, writing and singing.
So you've got quite a toolkit there, which is really helpful, that's specific to you. Though I'm sure some other people listening might recognize that. Did you bother, or not bother, but did you look for any hormonal support? Because it sounds like you're seeing your mood issues as relating to your hormone status, both when you were a young woman and more recently. So did you do anything overt in terms of hormone treatments or anything like that, or herbal?
No, I'm keen not to do that because of the experiences I've had with things like the pill, because it tends to knock me back down. So I do feel that the way it works for me is it's better for me to use these other kind of tools. And I do things like yoga and stuff like that, and meditation and things. I do at times take St. John's wort, which has been useful. But I think for me, ultimately, you know, singing and actually performing as a singer, communicating stuff, it gets it out of me. And is very helpful.
How interesting. And you mentioned a few minutes ago just about that anxiety that you would have, I suppose, before the menopause for some years when you know, you would have flooding periods. Has the anxiety sort of been around lately? I presume it's less obviously related because you're not having the flooding periods and the but is there an anxiety around nowadays, or is that settled with the menopause?
It really has settled. Interesting you ask that, because I've not really thought about that so much. Yeah, I mean, my stress levels are so much lower now than they have been for the last long time. I mean, in some ways that started during lockdown, when I was able to stop doing too much, because I've always been a bit of a workaholic. I mean, I still am a workaholic, as you probably know, but I am doing things. I'm not doing a lot of things that I don't want to do, whereas before lockdown I was, and lockdown kind of gave me that excuse to do it. But also, interestingly, it coincides with when my perimenopause really started. So it might be difficult to separate those two factors out.
And then going back to your sort of low mood issues, it'll be interesting to monitor if that stabilizes, if that settles with time again, just, you know, as your hormones settle out. Do you also think that there's anything to do with loss? Do you know how we characterize menopause as a loss of fertility and a loss of this, you know, this, it's generally characterized as mostly a negative thing, though what I'm mostly hearing here is quite positive. But
yeah,
do you think there's a bit of loss that's feeding into any low mood?
No,
you?
Not at all, actually.
No,
I mean, I really,
no, okay.
I think for the reason, you know, because of all the difficult stuff I had with the fibroids, it's a real gain for me to be bleeding every month. Mm-hmm. I am more than happy to have finished my reproduction days. I am a grandma now, which is an extraordinary, wonderful thing. I did definitely go through a period of time where I struggled with that changing thing and becoming invisible often as a woman. Mm-hmm. But I think I'm very lucky again because I'm a performer that I still have these moments in my life when I'm not invisible at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that has helped that part of the journey. It's interesting. I mean, I'm definitely having to reform my relationship with myself as a woman and as a, I suppose, as, you know, feeling sexy and attractive. Mm-hmm. You know, that's all changing, but it's becoming so much less important now.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I feel, in a way, I feel more attractive to myself now. Whereas before, my drive was to be attractive to men because that's who I wanted to attract, if that makes sense. And I suppose that was all linked in with the reproductive thing. So I'm really enjoying that, actually. You know, feeling attractive for me and not particularly worrying about how I come across to other people. That definitely didn't happen overnight. That's been a journey over the last few years of, you know, sometimes struggle and feeling like invisible, unattractive, or, you know, all the negative things that one might feel.
So it's something you've had to work on, and it's been a mixture of negatives and positives, the perimenopause for you.
Well, I think the liberation of, you know, having my life, so my children are now adults, and so I most of the time have an empty nest, which I am really enjoying. I have to say I'm enjoying the space because I had there was 8 years between my daughter and my son, so I had young children for a long time and was still able to do my music career, but it was hard and fraught with mother's guilt of leaving them and being busy and all. So now I'm kind of freed up from that, which is really nice. So I think the negatives kind of have, for me, I'm very lucky, have easily got swept away or overwhelmed by the positives of all the new things that I'm doing in my life. They've not remained a big focus for me, the negative things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my head's been turned to all these really exciting things that are in my life now, which is great. And I think partly because I'm not having bloody horrible periods every month to be attractive to men 24 hours a day.
Well, that's right. I mean, we're kind of aiming to talk about the perimenopause, but actually it's really important, all this information that you're sharing about how, you know, before that, you know, when you were still having regular periods, just how tough it was as a gigging musician. I mean, is there anything during this perimenopause that you're in now that makes it harder for you as a gigging musician? It's just in terms of people understanding what it's like for someone in our age group, you know.
I think one of the things I've struggled with, but again, I feel like I'm coming out the other side of it, is how to market myself as a middle-aged performer, a middle-aged woman, how I come to terms with the fact that the music industry is still very ridiculously focused on, you know, sort of princess looks of women and all this kind of thing. And you know, I've gone through periods of feeling angry and frustrated and resentful about that. And now, to be honest, I can't be bothered with it anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, whatever, you know, if certain parts, if certain elements are going to do that, whatever, I'm not going to waste my energy on that anymore. And actually, what's exciting for me, working with people like, for example, Luminate Scotland and Autumn Voices, these organisations that are working with older communities of very creative people, I'm suddenly finding this whole new zest and energy in people that just don't even, you know, that is nothing to do with being alive and being creative and, you know, all these, this extremely rich seam of stuff. So I feel like I've kind of come through that. But again, it was a journey. It's been a journey that's linked to this time. I did, actually, I did a very interesting, I was accepted, I was very gratefully accepted on a retreat that was run by a great company called Magnetic North, who are a theatre company, and they do a lot of mentoring of people in the arts from all genres. And they, every now and then, they do this retreat called the Space Time Retreat, which you have to apply for. It's just there's just, I think there was just five of us or something in the retreat, five or six. So I was selected for one of these retreats down in Galloway somewhere. This was probably 2017 or something, just when I was beginning to be aware of becoming middle-aged and the impact of that on how I was marketing myself, feeling like I was invisible, all this kind of thing. And the retreat was very much about how does one continue to be creative as an older practitioner, not an older artistic practitioner. And it was absolutely brilliant. So there was myself there as a musician, there was a choreographer, there was a visual artist, there was two theatre makers there, and we were all exchanging, all of the same kind of generation, we were all exchanging our thoughts and ideas and challenges and all this kind of stuff. And one of the exercises they did was to take us into a forest, and we had to go off on our own for half an hour, and we had to go with a question in mind, one question, and then we had to go and find either a visual object or a sight or a sound or a smell, whatever sense, and we had to then just focus on that and focus on the question and see what happened. And so I went in with the question of how do I market myself as a middle-aged woman. And the thing that drew my attention was this old stump of a tree, just, you know, the bottom part of a tree that had fallen down years and years ago. And it was this, it had moss over it. And then, so I just started looking at it and thinking, right, here's an old, you know, here's an old tree. And then as I looked, the more I looked, the more I discovered there was all these little elements of life growing in all the cracks and mosses and little bugs. And the more you looked, the more you found. And it's like this whole universe sort of unfolded. And it was just, I felt like nature gave me this most beautiful answer to my question. It's like, it's infinite how I could market myself, because actually the older I become, the more there is inside me. So it was really fantastic, actually. It was really beautiful.
Thing. That's an amazing image, actually.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful image, and that's lovely. Maybe fodder for a song or a poem, maybe.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, no, absolutely. No, it was just great that that's what caught my attention.
That sounds like you've actually had to do quite a lot of work, actually, to sort of, I suppose, take on board all the implications of being a perimenopausal woman or an older woman, really, because it's not just about the physical hormonal menopause, is it? It's about your position and our position in society and all of that. I mean, it's huge, really, isn't it? And
things that happened for me during my creative writing masters was that I realized that I had a great love for writing memoir, and so for my final dissertation I wrote a series of personal essays on being a middle-aged woman looking at different aspects of life, and that was an extraordinary way of processing a lot of that, actually. And since then I've gone on to, the bulk of my work, whether it's songwriting or filmmaking now, tends to be about sort of generational stories and looking at them from the viewpoint of an older woman. And you know, and as I was saying about the tree stump, it's this extraordinary wealth of riches, you know, to draw from. I mean, it really is. So I'm really excited now for the rest of my life being creative, you know, because there's just so much to draw from in that way.
That's fantastic. I really like to almost stop now on that last statement that you made. That's just a lovely sentence and a lovely sentiment. However, I would like to just ask you finally, if that's all right, if we just draw to a close in the next minute or two, have you got any take-home messages that you would like to finish on in terms of speaking to fellow musicians, fellow creatives, an audience, do you know, about just anything you would like them to hold in mind when they maybe have a middle-aged or an older artist in front of them or a musician in front of them? And is there anything you would like them to hold in mind or not particularly?
Well, I think certainly my experience as an older artist is that, you know, I feel privileged to have this perspective of life, and actually it can impact people of all generations, you know. So, you know, don't be afraid to share the knowledge of what you can see from this viewpoint. You know, having lived, looking back and also looking forward as well, because it's it really is a vastly rich viewpoint. And I think you know, my experiences now with the work I'm doing is people of all ages are being very affected by my work, which is just such a beautiful thing. So you know, nothing is shrinking.
That's another good end point. So let's shall we leave it at that, Sophie? I mean, that you've said such a lot. You're so articulate, and that's been so helpful. So I'd just really like to thank you very much indeed. And
pleasure.
Hopefully this audio will go up fairly soon, and you can listen to it again. So thanks a lot.
Tired she was feeling, all she would do was to perch there and say, keep away, keep away from my babies. My life's work is here at the top of the tree, and all I can hope is my babies keep safe till they fly. The mother she nurtured the young baby blackbirds with worms from our garden wrapped up in her love, and she built up their strength and belief that one day they could fly from the nest to a life of their own. Fly away, she'll call to her babies as they spread their wings at the top of the tree. And all she could hope was that they would be healthy and strong. Old mother blackbird, she stayed in the tree by the nest that lay empty and quiet and cold, and surrounded by echoes of babies she'd nurtured, she slept for a while, dreaming they had come home. I sit in my garden watching old Mother Blackbird collecting a worm to eat on her own. And I still hear her call from the tree with the nest, and it sounds like the cry I hold deep in my breast. I am far, I am far from my babies. My life's work is done at the top of the tree, and all I can hope is my babies are happy in life.